My name is Chris Keneally at Copyright Clearance Center, and I will be your guide through the next half of the webinar. I'm very happy to have you all joining us today. This is part of a continuing series of programs that Copyright Clearance Center has offered for a number of years now, taking a look at the very dynamic environment of open access publishing and really what it means to the business of scholarly publishing. We really are asking the question over and over, and I think really getting some fascinating answers to, if you've changed your business model to open access, what's next? And we need to understand the implications of this important shift. So over the next 30 minutes, we will be taking a look at these workflow challenges that really from manuscript submission to publication and beyond, call for sort of seamless workflow, and it's a real virtue there. We will look at how scholarly publishers enable frictionless article submission, and that's always important, particularly at this stage in publishing when authors are not only submitting articles, but choosing to pay article processing charges, the so-called APCs. Our guests will take a look at some of the best practices and help you understand better how that workflow can be improved and made more efficient. We will take your questions. If you have any questions at all, clarifications or otherwise, please use the chat box in the lower right corner of the screen. We'll get to as many of those as we can. We've established a hashtag for this series of programs, which is CCC Open Access, and you can follow us on Twitter at Copyright Clear. And so with that, I want to welcome to our program today Josh Dahl. He is the head of Publishing and Associations for Intellectual Property and Science at Thomson Reuters. And Josh, welcome to our program.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, we look forward to chatting with you. And, I think it's going to be important to tell people that your background is pretty substantial here at Thomson Reuters and Scholar One. And I think you're going to take us all the way back to the days of paper workflow and kind of bring us up to speed on the digital aspect of all of this. And let's start then, because you've put together an interesting diagram here that sort of shows where we stand today in 2015. And Scholar One really has been a pioneer in bringing digital workflow to scholarly publishing.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think if you look back to the early days, yes, this harkens back to the postal days. From that point and moving forward, it was about optimizing the workflow, driving down time from submission to decision, and really also saving costs, saving time and efficiency throughout the process. And so Scholar One, from its early days, was really built upon this foundation of having flexible workflows, being able to accommodate very simple to very complex editorial processes that need to happen between the point of submission and the point of final acceptance. And so this is something that we've over the course of the last decade, I think there's been a real expertise that we've developed through having configured lots and lots of sites.
Right, indeed. When you say lots and lots, we should tell people that I think that there are more than 6,000 journals actively on the Scholar One platform today. So that really covers a fair amount of scholarly publishing itself.
Absolutely, yeah. Those titles have been there, and it's a wide range of different titles. And so, I think even as we've seen from implementing those different areas of scientific publishing, I think there's different requirements even that fall underneath different sectors. But yeah, very, very diverse range of titles.
Right, and one of the things about open access that really is changing publishing is the way that it throws light on a process that is really hardly simple at all. In fact, it's fairly complicated. Your diagram there makes the point that there are a lot of touch points throughout this whole process, and in open access models, in particular, there are a number of players that are involved. So it's not simply authors and publishers. Institutions become involved who are supporting the researchers, as well as the funders. So it's really a kind of a workflow with a lot of with myriads of touch points, but with also multiple players.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly correct, and I think that's one of the challenges again, and that's one of the reasons we just kind of had the throwback to the postal days. I mean, a lot of times when you look at the types of workflows that are set up now, a lot of it was set to mimic maybe the sort of transactional nature of managing that workflow from getting a copy of a manuscript and sending it to an editor and then mailing it off to reviewers. And you're absolutely right with kind of the new dynamic of the author as a buyer. I mean, that really does change a lot of those touch points that maybe weren't or aren't in your current workflow and needs to add them both for authors as well as for funders and institutions.
Right. And as we see on this slide here, among the challenges when it comes to open access workflow is the point you've just referred to, which is this changing dynamic. The author is now the customer. I mean, they continue to supply the content, but they are using article processing charges. They are a client and are going to be expecting a different relationship, different kinds of customer service.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So when you're introducing this concept of the author as the buyer and managing transactions, you know, just think about it in your personal life. You know, you go to Amazon or you go to purchase something online. I mean, there's a certain level of customer service that you expect to have if you run into encounter problems during the transaction, if the form is confusing. So there's an added layer of customer support that really needs to be worked into rolling out management of article processing charges.
Right, and for publishers, I mean, they've always had customers, but the paying customers were the institutions, were the subscribers, and this is really a different type of customer. As you say, it's not simply a B2B relationship, business to business, but it's a business to consumer relationship.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, and so a lot of times, you know, there might be existing infrastructure to manage, you know, if you have had page charges or color charges in the past, there might be some of that that you've been able to manage in the past, or that you might have some of the support structure in place. But again, when you start moving that transaction, both, you know, occurring immediately after acceptance, or when you start providing estimates early on in the process, again, that just adds additional touch points where there might need to be some support on top of it to help ensure the author process is smooth.
Indeed. And so this final point on this slide refers to data collection, and that covers a multitude of sins. And one of the issues that we've explored in this series of programs for CCC is the role of the funders and the expectations that they have around compliance reporting, for example. Is that falling under that notion there of data collection that you're thinking of?
It is, absolutely. I mean, there's a myriad of different things that fall under that. You know, funder acknowledgments and getting that sort of attribution linked correctly with the manuscript. And there's lots of other information that you may want to collect and that you may need to collect at some point. But I think it's really, it's about balancing that with the user experience. You know, if you have a high volume journal, you have a high rejection rate, you know, you certainly don't want to make that process much more difficult for what the percentage of authors that may not get past a first round of decision making. So anything you can do in that to balance what you need to collect up front versus what maybe could wait is really important when you're looking at modifying and moving to the sort of APC management.
Right. Well, we are speaking today with Josh Dahl. He is the head of publishing and associations at Thomson Reuters. My name is Chris Keneally, a Copyright Clearance Center. And we are very happy to have you joining us today. We've got people from around North America and Europe and farther than that, indeed. And what's interesting to me about the roles, you know, Josh Dahl has been telling us that the open access publishing model really does throw light in all kinds of corners and bring all sorts of players into the picture, and we see that reflected in the people on the program with us today. We've got individuals signed in from various libraries with roles from production editors and journals coordinator to open access business development to managing editor to research coordinator. So there are a number of individuals who have an interest in this particular topic, and you know, we suggested we would be offering some best practice advice, Josh, and I wonder if we can kind of get to that at this point and really run through with us what you feel is critical. And there are some other players that we haven't even brought up just yet, which are the standards bodies who also are critical for this whole process.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's important. And so we'll start with that. You know, anywhere you can implement standards, certainly that's important to be able to ensure that the data you're collecting is accurate, It helps facilitate downstream processing. So when you start getting into actual payments and calculating discounts and acknowledgements for any time that you can implement standards, I think it's really critical that you do that. That not only helps your process, but it also helps with momentum for the standards and adoption across the industry. So Fundref, Orchid, Ringgold, these are Fundref and Orchid are two obviously that are the funder attribution and then the researcher identifier. And then Ringgold is an example of just a way to standardize affiliation collection. So both from authors and then from end users within your system.
Right, and everyone on the program should know that we have spoken with people from various of those standards bodies in our webinar series as well as in presentations. So recently at London Book Fair, we had Diane Kogan from Ringgold. We've had Ed Pence joining us in this series from Fundref, and we certainly look forward to bringing in people from ORCID as well, which is the author identifier. And as you say, they are critical for this to work across those 6,000 publishers that you work with as well as the many thousands more that CCC has relationships with. It really is going to require, indeed force everybody to sign up to those standards and really implement them.
Absolutely. No, you're correct. And that's one of the things, you know, you'll find in all the systems, you know, they'll have options for this sort of standardization. And again, it's a matter of adoption, making sure that when you're going in to discuss this sort of workflow change, just to make sure what are your options with regard to implementing these standards and just make sure that those are enabled as part of the rollout.
Right. And, you know, finally, Josh, it's kind of ironic. We've been telling people this is a complicated situation, but the last point there is important, which is that less is more. We want to make certain when we're doing all of this that we don't present a complicated view of the world. We want to have as simple, as seamless, as frictionless a view as we can, because that's what the author, the researcher, is looking for.
Absolutely, yeah. And so it certainly is a very complex on the back end, but anything you can do to mask that to the end user, whether it's, again, kind of going back to the point of data collection, if you can really manage and balance that the needs for data collection at the front end on that initial submission from the author, can you move a question off, maybe questions that you're only going to need for actual processing charges? Can you move them till after acceptance? And most, Scholar One workflow has multiple touch points where you can go back to the author for data collection. And so that's something that we really like to stress is if you're adding complexity and you're adding additional needs for data collection, just make sure, look at everything that you're collecting from the author up front. See if there's ways you can slim it down and kind of mask some of the complexity that you might need to manage and collect downstream.
Well, you've got a couple of ways of looking at this process here, and I think a very clean presentation of that. Talk us through this here. We see here, as you would expect it to, beginning on the left here, with the author submitting the manuscript.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just... We are rapidly moving towards implementation and integration with copyright clearance, and we're very happy and excited to be moving forward with that. So I just wanted to give just two examples of kind of workflow integration that we're looking at with the rights link for open access. And so one is this need for estimates, and this is something we've heard from our publishing community, need to be able to provide at the point either prior to or during the submission process. Give the author an idea of what sort of charges would we look at if, number one, we selected to publish this as open access, if it's a hybrid journal, or just if it's a full open access journal, what are the charges going to be for this downstream? So providing that sort of touch point and giving those estimates in workflow is important at that point in the early stages of the submission process.
Right, because again, I think that reminds us, as we were saying earlier, that the author is a customer here, and customers want to spend their money wisely, so they want to know what they're in for. And there's another point in this integration you brought up that is important to speak about, so that would be payments.
Absolutely, yeah. And so obviously, and this is the prime use case. You've got a manuscript, an article that's been accepted, and now you need to actually be able to facilitate that seamless payment within RightsLink for Open Access. And so really the handoff is seamless. The author, the researcher, they're not burdened with kind of having to jump to two different systems. Really, it's a seamless transition to the RightsLink for Open Access system to manage those payments kind of within the confines of Scholar One manuscript. So being able to move seamlessly across is really important for what we're planning to implement.
Well, as you say, a seamless transition, and we've got another seamless transition coming up right now, and that is to bring in my colleague and someone who's worked with Josh Salve, Jake Kelleher. Jake, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Jake is Senior Director of Licensing and Business Development and has been an important part of creating this relationship that CCC now has with Scholar One. And Jake, you know, you've been hearing Josh talk about this workflow and the challenges that open access is really shedding light on for everyone in this process, the authors, the publishers, the institutions, and the funders. And so Copyright Clearance Center has developed a solution that really addresses all of that, and we like to remind people that we've put this together based upon what we've heard from those various stakeholders.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the more you dig in, the more we start off as a publisher product, but we soon learned that you have to understand that the publisher's customer is the author, as Josh mentioned, but there are other constituents in the market that you have to deal with, the institutions, for instance, and also the funders. They need important information. They need accurate information. And by capturing, you know, this information with standards, that type of thing, we can pass them accurate, clean reporting data that they need to do their jobs. And, you know, the number one thing I would point out as it relates to this and this integration, and I have this this conversation with just about every publisher we talk to, and it's about the author experience. They are concerned about the author experience. They want to make sure that they it's a better experience, that now we're not getting in the way, that we're making it seamless. So they're really, the publishers are really focused on the author, and having this joint integration with Scholar One and RightsLink for Open Access really dovetails nicely with the goal of having a better author experience.
And the thing about that, Jake, is that the customer, there isn't one single customer. There's customers with all kinds of different requirements and who meet different exceptions or others. And so it's not about a sort of everybody fits into one particular one size fits all. And so what this service is doing, apart from providing that author satisfaction, is to manage the exceptions that allow for different types of individual authors to come into the process.
Yeah, managing exceptions is kind of the main idea as well. And from publisher to publisher, the rules are different. They may price differently. They may have different discounts. They may have discounts based on affiliation or membership. So those things have to be managed properly. And RightsLink becomes a very sophisticated rules engine. It is a platform, but it is configured differently for each publisher for those different types of requirements.
Right. Josh Dowd really very quickly touched on the point about standards and the emergence of the importance of standards. And there isn't a single standard. Again, there are a number of standards that really have to be managed across funder, institution, and author. And what the RightsLink for Open Access solution offers to publishers is a way to integrate all those various standards. We've been talking about our partnership with Scholar One, but we've got a very significant partnership with Ringo, for example, which is the institutional identifier.
Yeah, I can imagine in the old days, an author comes in and is asked what institution you're part of, and they're typing in the University of California or at Fresno, and the inaccurate data that you would have in the system. Now with an integration with Ringgold, they just either that metadata can be passed to us, so they don't have to type anything. They can just verify it, or they can select from a dropdown and select the exact institution or even the exact department that they're affiliated with. That makes it much easier, and the data, again, is much cleaner.
Right. And you know, Jake, we've been doing, as I say, a number of programs and really a kind of full-court press at Copyright Clearance Center around working with publishers to make the job of handling that transition to open access easier for them. And now we've got a special opportunity to make it even easier.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up. I'm a shameless salesman. The integration with Scala One is ongoing. We are making an offer to all Scala One publishers who are interested in working with RightSync for Open Access. Give us a call, and if we can get you on board, we'll drop the implementation fee by half, which I think is a nice way of saying welcome on board. And I think the experience that the authors will have will more than justify the small investment that it takes to get into RightSync for Open Access.
And Josh mentioned how customers, authors are trained by outfits like Amazon and Google to have a web experience that's really of the highest quality, and that's what they're looking for in this kind of a solution, I think.
Yeah, you need to get better and better. I talk about RightSync, RightSync is a product that's been around 12 years. We started handling APCs in 2006, but I always say this, the RightSync for Open Access product that we have today doesn't look anything like the product of 2006. And the product that we'll have in 2016 won't look like the product we had in 2015.
It's very true. It has been a really fascinating process to watch it develop, to watch it emerge, and to know that there's a great deal more to come. Well, we've got to the point in our program, our half-hour program, for your questions. If you do have a question for Josh Dahl, Head of Publishing and Associations at Thomson Reuters, or for my colleague here at Copyright Clearance Center, Jake Kelleher, please use the chat box in the lower right-hand corner of the screen and let us know what's on your mind. If you need any clarifications or have any questions, particularly for either Josh or for Jake. And Josh, I want to bring you back in. And you have been with Scala One and with Thomson Reuters now, as you said, going back to the postal days. Is there any particular challenge that really stands out for publishers today? I mean, just about every publisher, startups as well as the legacy publishers, are offering open access as a choice, and we're coming to live in a ecosystem, a publishing ecosystem that really is quite a varied one. But when they make that move to open access, is there one thing that really just pops out at them as the biggest challenge?
Well, I think it requires a lot of planning. And that's one of the points that I mentioned on the best practices is there are experts with a lot of experience on both Copyright Clearance Center and Scholar One that have done this, have seen different workflows, and that can help with that transition planning. And so one of the things that I would say is just really consult with them. That's what they're there for. They're there to help provide expertise and guidance, transition planning, and kind of understanding the pros and cons and of moving forward with the APC management plan.
Right. And Jay Kelleher, one of the things that has become apparent to me is that open access really does open the doors of publishing into areas that at Copyright Clearance Center weren't so visible to us before. It's not just that the institutions are involved, it's not just that the funders are involved, but the kinds of people that we are talking with, the people we're working with at the various publishing houses, are coming from all variety of departments and perspectives.
Yeah, our name, Copyright Clearance Center, is a little bit off the mark when it comes to what we're doing. We're really dealing with people that are heavily involved in the workflow, the production of the journal articles. So we're talking to production people, and not only and vendors that they work with. It is a new set of clients. All right, I guess there are some questions up here. Which one are we looking at? Time frame for the integration.
Yeah, people are excited about this.
Oh yeah, looks like we're getting lots of questions. Yeah, so we're currently integrating the two products, and I think the time frame is fairly short order. We are in the month of May, so I think before the end of this calendar year. And Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll have the integration complete.
Absolutely, that's correct. Yeah, before the end of the calendar year, it'll be in, it'll be ready, and we'll be sending. Certainly both to our existing customers as well as any RightSync customers who are interested, we'll send details in advance of that about kind of planning for moving to this integration and anything that needs to be set up in advance.
Yeah, and there's no need for publishers to wait because there's some implementation work to be done if you know just to get up on RightsLink, and that can be parallel with the integration work we are doing with Scholar One.
Right, so that's the point, to get started as early as possible, and you'll see the results as quickly as possible. Well, we have done a pretty quick job of running through all this, giving people a look inside the integration that Scholar One and Copyright Clearance Center are offering for publishers with open access business models. It's been a very quick half hour. We appreciate your joining us today. We want to remind people about a couple of other things the Copyright Clearance Center is offering for everyone here. We have an online open access resource center as partnership with in partnership with the Association of Learned and Professional Society Publishers. Do be sure to bookmark openaccessresources.org for all the very latest news and reports from publishing and from the other players involved on open access. It's broken down by region, so as I mentioned, we have people on the call today from Europe, from Asia. You can check out the news that's for your particular area, so we really hope that you will return to that over and over and to be sure to keep up on a very dynamic publishing environment. Both Copyright Clearance Center and Thomson Reuters will be joining everyone at the SSP conference, which is coming up in the Washington, D.C. area next week. And we've got a booth, both of us, Copyright Clearance Center is booth number 307. Josh Thomson Reuters will be at number 211. Copyright Clearance Center is also organizing a special party reception to invite you in for a drink and for a little bit of conversation about these challenges, learn more about what the issues are on your mind. That takes place at the Bin 1700 restaurant in the Crystal Gateway Marriott on the 27th from 7:15 to 9 p.m. If you'd like to register for that, go in and sign on or sign in for that at copyright.com/SSP15. So we look forward to seeing you there. We'll wrap things up then. Just at the end of the half an hour, I want to thank Josh Dahl, Head of Publishing and Associations, Intellectual Property and Science at Thomson Reuters. Josh, it's been a pleasure having you join us.
Very much, Chris.
And Jay Kelleher, thank you again.
Thank you, Chris.
For everyone at Copyright Clearance Center, for Michelle Lawson, our manager of the technology today, and for myself, Christopher Keneally, thanks for joining us at Copyright Clearance Center, and have a great day.